Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. In for Anna DeVlantis is Hannah Stanley.
This is the part where the audience all goes, oh, like at the theater. The part of Donny Osmond tonight will be played by.
Yeah, that one always got me. Yeah, that one always got me. In this case, it is Hannah Stanley. It's just one of those things. It's a name. It's close enough. I think people will not know the difference. Just go with that.
Anna Hannah.
Yeah.
It rhymes-ish. It's almost the same.
Adam Kinzinger is a congressman from the state of the great state of Illinois, or the once great state of Illinois. We're hoping that it will once again be a great state. And he is joining us now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. You've been very busy, Congressman. Been watching this, been watching all this activity on Capitol Hill, and you've been all over the television today talking about it. First of all, I want to let's stick on Capitol Hill for a second before we get our undies in a bunch about Trump Tower. This is very interesting on the Democratic side. I'd like to get your thought on this. On the Nancy Pelosi, have you heard of her?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think I've heard of her.
Yeah. She is the minority leader in the House of Representatives. And now she is actually going to be challenged for that job by a guy from Ohio, a Democrat from Ohio, who says that the party has gotten to be two Looney Tunes and they need to go back and touch the working class voter that put Donald Trump in the Oval Office.
So, yeah, I mean, by the way, something funny. The National Republican Congressional Committee today put out a tweet endorsing Nancy Pelosi's reelection. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, she's like the best thing going for us. But no, look, if I'm a Democrat and I'm giving them, you know, nonpartisan advice, I think it's right. I think, you know, you the Democratic Party, like the Republican Party did, you know, a lot of it didn't take. But you have to look and say, OK, we're losing elections. Why are we losing elections? And obviously there were a lot of Illinois was somewhat immune to it, but there was a lot of working class voters that vote Democratic their whole life that turned around and voted for Donald Trump. And, you know, it's a great opportunity for Republicans. But if I'm a Democrat and I'm advising Democrats, I'm going to say you guys really do, instead of just going into autopilot and saying we're going to put Nancy Pelosi and the same people back in, at least have a family discussion about where you need to go and what you need to look like. I think, frankly, the Democratic Party, it's happening sooner than I thought, but they're going through kind of what the Republicans went through, where there's a battle between centrist and the left a little bit now.
Yeah, and what's interesting, too, is that with Donald Trump, it has been he's so post-truth, to use the Oxford Language Dictionary word of the year, that you're not quite sure what he is, right? I mean, is he a conservative? Right. I mean, I'm very conservative, but I would like to spend $10 trillion right now without paying for it. You know, there's a lot of things going on there, and you're not quite sure what he stands for on anything. And that's that. And I think that brings me to point two here. I wanted to ask you about, because I know you've been talking about this today, that it does appear that there was contact between the Trump campaign and Russia. And now there was a smoochy, smoochy kind of conversation, apparently, according to the Kremlin, between Mr. Putin and Mr. Trump. Does that alarm you, Congressman Kinzinger?
So partially, yeah. I mean, you know, one of the things, and Senator McCain said it, and I would echo it, which is, you know, we would definitely advise against a attempt at a relationship thaw with Russia. There's nothing wrong with always trying to better relationships, but an attempt to, you know, to cede to Russia power. You know, you look at what's going on in Syria, 500,000 dead Syrians, 50,000 of which are children. You look at obviously what's going on in Europe. Every administration has tried a thaw with Russia. Bush tried it. Obama tried it with the reset. And so it may be natural to try it. But, yes, if there is any kind of, you know, and I'm not making the accusation right now because I don't know, but any kind of collusion or anything that would ever happen, or any kind of an attempt to become buddy-buddy at the cost of, you know, our foreign policy, you will see people, you know, stand up and speak out. But I will tell you, let me just say, though, in the names I've seen floated for things like Secretary of State and, you know, Secretary of Defense and everything else, it appears as if Donald Trump is setting up a team, depends who the final names are, a team of, you know, folks that really believe in a strong American foreign policy, and that's encouraging.
Well, that's interesting because there are some very impressive people. Mike Flynn, though, but they keep mentioning Mike Flynn for every job. General Mike Flynn is like they spread him thin. They like the NSA, the Defense Department, you know, all kinds of all kinds of stuff. So I don't quite know what to make of all those names. I'll tell you what's fascinating, though. Nikki Haley today has been floated. She's the governor of South Carolina, and she got floated for Secretary of State.
And Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney now is out there.
Right. Now, Mitt Romney, they're having a meeting next week. What do you, I mean, just speculate here. What do you speculate is the opportunity there with Mitt Romney and Donald Trump?
Well, what I'm seeing is I think Donald Trump is really, I mean, you know what people said about him. He's really trying to put together the best team. As I'm getting on the phone, news is breaking that basically Mitt Romney has said that he'd be interested in reentering government and specifically in Secretary of State. So there's probably no doubt he's actually going to, you know, in essence, audition for it or talk to Trump about it.
Oh, God, wait till Giuliani hears about this. boy.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's what has been interesting, and, you know, I've obviously been pretty anti-Trump through the campaign, but I have not had a single person, and this is God's honest truth, associated with the Trump campaign that said anything to me like, boy, you were wrong, or you're going to get payback, or, you know, we're going to come after you. There is a real effort to unite this party, and the party is united way faster than anything I could have imagined, and it's actually been pretty impressive to see. So, you know, we're only 9 or 10 days into this transition, but the signs so far, I think, appear to be pretty good.
Well, were you surprised that Mike Rogers, who was a congressman from Michigan, left Congress? He was an FBI, one of the top FBI people in the country. Then he went into Congress, and he went into media then as an analyst. But are you surprised that Mike Rogers, given his incredible resume, has sort of been shown the door?
Yeah, I don't know, you know, obviously the details of how that happened or what happened or anything like that. You know, it obviously the same thing in essence with Chris Christie. So, you know, what it appears, I mean, frankly, from the outside and kind of what we're seeing a little on the inside is the transition team led by Chris Christie really hadn't done a lot of work. And, you know, in contrast, Mitt Romney in 2012 was basically ready to go with nominations and everything else on election day, as is constitutionally required. And so
maybe they wanted to run the transition. Maybe that's what the call is about. Hey, do you mind showing me that list of people you had?
Who'd you have for this?
I really do need that list right now. Hello. Get out of my office, by the way.
Back to you, and it's in crayon on a cocktail napkin or something.
Right.
You know, but look, I mean, you know, so now I think, and that's part of the Pence move, maybe possibly, and I don't know this again firsthand, but maybe Donald Trump found out that not much had been done and it was time for a shakeup, and, you know, this could all be part of it.
Yeah. Well, and then they apparently are going to take a little bit of their time. I mean, it doesn't really matter because the confirmations can't start anyway until basically after the holidays, right?
So. Right. And so that's a deal. But also, you know, the earlier they get the names out, the better it is for giving the Senate the ability to do background checks and begin to vet, you know, because the Senate has to do their own work.
Well, that isn't going very well. Some of the names that are coming out. Hey, did you know that? I mean, as soon as a name gets floated, there's like there's all the Oppo research on them that is getting floated.
It's great.
Yeah. And they haven't come to you to ask you to run the Defense Department or anything like that yet?
You know, I'm surprised, but they haven't. So,
okay.
No, I've had my phone ringer on, though. I didn't put it on silent.
Exactly. Oh, maybe one day they'll call.
Wake me if they call.
Hello, Mom, quit calling. You're tying up the line.
Right. Hold on. Then do you call yourself to make sure the phone's still working?
Yeah,
you done that?
Right.
I'm taking a shower, but interrupt me if the phone rings.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's
he
right.
takes it in with him in a plastic bag. Well, you know, it's interesting because there, you know, there's moments where I think people feel like, you know, there's moments of optimism punctuated by moments of sheer panic, right?
Sure.
Because it's like everyone's like, he'll say something or he'll get on Twitter and he, you know, he like fail in New York Times or whatever. And it's like, doesn't feel presidential. And then there's moments where they seem to run that they've reined back the narrative that they're out of control over there. But there's the question about the son-in-law, about Jared Kushner, and how much influence is he having? Is he having any influence? Are they going to try and get security clearances for the kids? Turns out you don't need a security clearance if you're president of the United States for your kids, because you can declassify anything you want at any time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and also with some of this kind of close inner circle intrigue, you know, whether it's, you know, Steve Bannon, who's obviously a very controversial figure, or Jared Kushner, the son-in-law, is a president is entitled, you know, it's like the Bobby Kennedy thing with President Kennedy. A president is entitled to put his or her inner circle around them, you know, that they trust for trusted advisors. I mean, you know, I'll call my dad sometimes to talk about issues and just be like, obviously I won't reveal anything classified, but, you know, to talk about issues and say, hey, this is something I'm kind of going back and forth with. And, you know, my dad doesn't have any official role in my office, but he's somebody I trust and somebody I know. And so I think you give some flexibility to a leader to put around him people that he trusts.
Dad, don't call my phone right now, though. I'm waiting right, a yeah. very important call. Don't call my phone.
I
can see that happening. Dad, guess what? There's a guy running for president who's like a billionaire from New York who's like crazy, and I think he's going to win. No, son, that'll never happen.
You go back to
never.
Sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a nightmare.
Exactly. Right, exactly. Here's some warm milk. All right, now, but there is a sense. I mean, this is an interesting thing because Republicans do seem in the House. I mean, there has to be this coalescence here, and there's a certain amount of optimism. Would you say that's the way it's being reported today? Is that true based on you as a congressman, a Republican congressman, standing there on Capitol Hill? Is that happening?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been blown away, frankly, by how quickly the party has come together. You know, I mean, a very fractured party 2 weeks ago, how quickly the party has come together, how optimistic people are. You know, while I have my concerns, obviously, about foreign policy and signs are looking better, but I have my concerns and I'm open about them. On the domestic side of things, some of the things planned as a Republican look really, really good. And I think, you know, change regardless, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, change regardless is always good for a country. And the other thing is, I think Donald Trump, and this is what I've said a lot too, we're going to have to reach out to Democrats even if we have unified control of the government, because I think that's the best way to govern. Anytime a party's taken total control and just roughshod their agenda through without trying to reach out to the other side of the aisle,
they get taken out in the and they also get taken out in the midterm. Mm-hmm. You know that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it'll be interesting to watch how that transfers. I don't get it, though, and I know we'll let you go here in a second, but because your dad's calling. But I don't understand the idea of how conservatives are going to be easy with the – I guess I know that they want economic stimulation here from a big like public works project, essentially, is what it is. Right. It's WPA. Yeah. And Republicans, if this were a Democrat doing it, they go, look at him. He's spending money and they don't have any. There's no way. How are they going to do this? And the deficit and the debt. And it seems that nobody seems to care that even though everybody was all upset about the fact that the debt is now, you know, approaching $20 trillion.
Right.
You know, this the president elect is about to dump another $10 trillion over 10 years onto that number. I mean, that's how it's scoring.
Yeah, and this is the question is, you know, what does it finally look like? You know, what can we come to an agreement on? I'm actually a big believer in infrastructure because it's in the Constitution, actually, as a role of the federal government, and it's very important. But, you know, do you couple that with tax reform? Do you couple that with, you know, any of these, you know, maybe tweaking and fixing entitlements for younger people like me to save the system in the long run?
And, in other words, Violetta and Sammy just lost their Social Security. That's what I just heard.
That's what I just heard.
Where's my Social Security?
Social Security?
I remember, they'll never forget, one of my favorite campaign ads of all times was Adam's opponent, and they had a woman on it. Don't touch my Social Security, Adam!
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
It's amazing. And all you're doing is talking about, hey, I'm 38. We can make some changes to save it for current seniors. But these are all big conversations that'll happen.
Who cares about them? What about me?
Yeah, right, Violetta. Yeah, right.
What about me?
Yeah, that's right. She's 24, and she's 42 years away from collecting on Social Security.
How long do you have to work for that to add up?
Another couple of years, you'll be good.
Yeah, just another year.
Just a year with Roe, and you'll get Social Security disability from that. So.
Perfect.
All right. Enough of that. All right. Well, Congressman, we'll get off the phone with you so that you can stare at it now and wait for the Donald Trump to call you.
Hey, I know what you never Trumper. You can come over to the tower. You could be here from 4:40 to 4:42. I'll see you.
Hey, I heard you on Roe. You're real good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a big fan of mine, too. Big Great. Fan. Although I did tell him I liked his. I like the big TRUMP. On his building. So then he goes, that man's a genius. No, he's not. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Congressman.
You bet. Take care, guys.
All right. Adam Kinzinger. Man for our times.